Next, housing and the numbers of people living in homeless shelters across the country reached a new record on Friday. The most up-to-date figures show that 15,580 people accessed emergency accommodation in April. Over 4,700 of them were children. Included in those numbers are people who were evicted from private rented accommodation. 2 years ago, the government introduced the Cost Rental Tenant In Situ scheme, which would allow the state to purchase the home of renters if the landlord decided to sell. But opposition politicians say the scheme is mired in bureaucracy and is underfunded. In a moment, we'll hear from the Labour Party's housing spokesman, Conor Sheehan. But first, I've been speaking with Marion. She is a healthcare worker based in the Midwest. She's been living in a rented home for 18 years with her three children. And when the landlord decided to sell, she thought the tenant in situ scheme might save her from homelessness. She told me what happened.
So my landlord notified me last September that they intended to sell their home. So the scheme that I checked up at that time was the cost rental tenant in situ. I spoke to my landlord about that and we agreed that that is something we could move forward with.
And you've been living in your home for how long?
It'll be 18 years this year.
And I know you have children as well. So obviously this news was going to have a very big impact on your lives.
Yes. So I live near my family. My family care for me and my children. And I care equally for my family. So we're nearby. I need their support, Justin. Mm-hmm. And they need mine as well. My children go to school locally. I work locally. It's all been working very well. So as soon as I heard that news, I was in panic mode because the housing situation has been topical for quite some time.
And prior to receiving this news, there had been a series of bans on no-fault evictions, but those eviction bans had come to an end in March of 2023. And the government introduced this scheme called the Cost Rental Tenant In Situ scheme, which would allow the state to buy a home where someone like yourself was at risk of becoming homeless. And you say that you looked to see if that scheme could be used in your case.
Correct. So we filled out the forms, sent them to my local council. That's the pathway. I send the forms to them once I'm inside the criteria, which I was. And then the local council would send them then to the housing agency for consideration.
And so your application then was accepted, was it?
Yes.
And what happened then?
So that process went from September to the 25th of February this year, when I got an email to say that the process and the application has been unsuccessful and that despite attempts to come to an agreement, none had been made. Therefore, this application is now null and void. It's closed.
When you say that the application was unsuccessful, at what point did it become unsuccessful? Was it that the state could not agree a price with the landlord for the house? Was that what the problem was?
That's my understanding, Justin, but I'm not privy to that information.
Okay. And I know that you work full time. You're not eligible for social housing, for HAP or local authority loans. Did you try to find a way that you could access finance yourself to buy the property?
Yes, I did. So the work I'm doing, my earnings, I could take out a substantial loan, but not enough to buy a house. So I did try to bridge a gap myself. I thought it might be accepted between, let's say, the state and the landlord, but that wasn't accepted. So that was one effort I made. Then I did try to see how I could get on any of the schemes that were available, such as affordable housing, local authority home loans, social housing, HAP. And what I did to try and get on the social aspect of it was I dropped my hours in work, meaning I took parental leave. And mm-hmm. I thought then that would drop me adequately to get inside a scheme because I needed to be inside a scheme. But actually, when I did submit my paperwork, it didn't matter because you have to be a first-time buyer as well. And I did have a mortgage in the past, but I didn't actually capitalise on that. And then for the financial aspect of it, when I did drop down to the lower hours and I did try and go to private institutions for mortgages, they said, you're earning too little. You're never going to be able to pay that back. So you need to increase your hours, your income. So I was stuck either way.
And did you also look then at the option of trying to find somewhere else to rent?
Yeah, so I emailed and contacted every single agent, every single email, every single notification that came out on DAFT, and I got exactly two responses out of approximately 30 emails, calls, texts, nothing, no responses whatsoever. And the rents were increasing every week.
It is the right of your landlord to sell their property if they want to and not to accept an offer that they don't think is viable for them. But for you, I mean, what does it mean for you now? What are your circumstances at the moment? What are you facing into?
Justin, next Monday week, I am officially homeless. I have nowhere to go with my children. I have absolutely nowhere to go. My local authority, my local council have offered me and my children a temporary emergency accommodation in one room in a local hotel, even though we're mixed genders, but we all have to go into one room. And I can't go to work and leave my children in one room with no facilities. So I'm really stuck that I have to give up my job that I love to mind my children who are growing up now, and we're all going to be in one room until I find somewhere else. And compounding that awful situation is that I've been reminded that because I'm not on a local authority home waiting list or on HAP, I still have to go and find a place for myself. So how is it going to be for me leaving an addressed house, a nice house I'm in, to move into a hotel room and try and compete with everybody else to get private accommodation?
That was Marion, a healthcare worker who lives in the Midwest and who says she will become homeless tomorrow week. Conor Sheehan is the Labour Party spokesman on housing. Marion's case was raised in the Dáil this week after she contacted Deputy Sheehan. I spoke with him earlier and asked him for his assessment of her situation.
The first thing I'd say is that it's unbelievable what Marion has gone through, as we heard there in the piece. It's shocking, but at the same time, it's not surprising, because her story is one of many stories, because since the eviction ban was lifted in 2023, and now with the corresponding restrictions that were put in place around, say, the cost rental tenant in situ, which is if you don't avail of local authority supports such as HAP, or if you don't come within the income limits to be on the social housing list, it means that if you were to be evicted before, there was the option there of the local authority agreeing a price in conjunction with the housing agency and actually buying the property. But the housing situation has gone so bad that there are plenty of people like Marion up and down the country who are absolutely bereft. They don't know what to do, where to go, essentially, and they don't avail of any support from the state. They don't qualify for social housing, HAP, and they're in many cases, you know, they either earn too much for supports or too little to actually access finance for a mortgage, or are too old, essentially, to get a mortgage.
The government says it's allocated 325 million euros this year to a fund for the acquisition of second-hand properties. Now, in Marion's case, the purchase of the property was unsuccessful. But is that level of funding adequate to meet the demand that is out there?
No, it's not, because if you look at local authorities around the country, various local authorities have come forward. My own local authority in Limerick, Cork City Council, Fingal, and they said that they've had to use that allocation of money to cover the backlog from 2024. And as a result, they are not going to be able to meet the level of needs that they have in their communities. And like the cost rental tenant in situ and the local authority tenant in situ have been very successful schemes at preventing homelessness. I mean, in Cork City last year, 37.7% of homeless preventions came from the two tenant in situ schemes. So obviously with the new restrictions that are there with these schemes now, and the fact that in real terms you do have a funding cut, even though government would dispute that, things are actually only going to get worse in relation to this. And we haven't even really seen the trickle down effect of these restrictions in our homeless figures yet.
And we know from the homeless figures released on Friday that we have another level of record homelessness. How typical is Marion's case, where you have somebody who has an income, they're a working person, they have a family, but they find themselves now, because of a shortage of available properties and because they're being evicted from their property, that they're unable to find a place to live. How typical is her situation as far as you're concerned?
I have a number of people like Marion who come to my constituency clinics week in, week out. And the fact of the matter is, if I look at my own city of Limerick, you know, we had the highest percentage rent increase in Ireland last year, 20.4%. House prices are gone up over 100% since 2013. And the private rental market is fundamentally broken. There is no supply there. I have more and more people like Marion coming to me every week, and they literally, some of them are even couch surfing. It's absolutely desperate, and it is only going to get worse.
That was the Labour Party housing spokesman Conor Sheehan speaking to me earlier. Coming up, the thousands of people who failed to turn up for their driving tests.